Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. I'm going to sound like a parent, which I'm not. But parents, if your kids are talking about juuling and you think they're getting together to do the latest version of bedazzling, you really need to pay attention to today's show. If you think vaping was just some trend that didn't catch on and isn't cool enough for kids to join in on, you need to listen. In the next half hour, you're going to learn about the different generations of e-cigarettes and how this product designed to help smokers get off cigarettes has found its way into middle and high schools in a very big way. Joining me are Diane Kirsten-Glittman, the school nurse at Essex-Westford School District, and Chris Olex, the principal at Stowe High School. Diane and Chris, thanks for joining us today. Chris, e-cigarettes were introduced around 2007, but they certainly are different today from then. So can you briefly take us through how they've evolved?
Well, I think that one of the main things that people really need to know is that there's a sort of a height of design that's been reached with them that is really critical to understand. These are devices that are clearly marketed towards kids, and they're marketed towards making them concealable. So when we talk about Juul sticks and Juul pens, what you see in these devices are things that look almost exactly like a USB device. They actually plug into your computer. The pods that contain the nicotine-based juice look like literally like something that we all grew up with as a USB device. So in schools, they are things that really are designed to be undetectable and for adults not to recognize what they are.
And the e-cigarettes started out looking like a cigarette with kind of a lit end, went to, I don't know, something that looked like a fancy pen, but now they look like this today.
Yes, exactly. And they're really slender. They can be fit into people's pockets. The pods themselves can be concealed in people's hands. And in fact, most kids can, if you wrap your hand around one of the entire Juul devices, you can't even see it in their hand.
And explain what a pod is.
A pod is something that plugs into the end of the Juul device. It contains the active ingredient and the nicotine stuff that's in there that the kids are then inhaling.
Diane, how do they compare to a regular cigarette when it comes to delivering nicotine to the user?
Right now, what they're saying is that each pod is the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes. And so these are designed specifically to mimic the smoking experience, which the pens, the older e-cigarette devices, were unable to do. So it's much more highly regulated in terms of the amount of nicotine that you get per each hit or smoke from it, and basically is to make it as seamless as possible to sort of go from cigarettes to using this Juul device.
From what you've observed, are they as addicting as cigarettes?
So we don't have a lot of good information right now, especially not with the younger group. And this is what we're really concerned about, because nicotine, the addictive part of cigarettes, is in these devices and is in at the same concentration. And the young adolescent brain, with its neuroplasticity, is more likely to become addicted. And there's information out there that there can be cross-addiction, especially from something like nicotine to other drugs. And so a lot of this is still being developed because it's still so new to us.
Well, let's hear from someone who is of the age where we're seeing a lot of this usage. We're joined now by Tatiana Byam, a seventh grader at Edmonds Middle School in Burlington. She's a member of the group Be Above the Influence that involves students from Edmonds and Hunt Middle Schools in Burlington. Tatiana, thanks for joining us today. You there, Tatiana?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So what is your group, Be Above the Influence?
Well, it's just sort of a group that helps with prevention of drug abuse and alcohol abuse.
So why are you, as a middle school student, concerned about Juuls and e-cigarettes?
Well, the Juul companies are targeting youth, and when you start, then it's when you start at a young age, you're much more likely to become addicted and be addicted later in life. So there can be huge costs, and I don't want to see people in my community get addicted and have the costs.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see them targeting, your age group?
Well, oftentimes ads will have a lot of bright colors, people who are younger, and sometimes ads in stores are positioned by candy or they're lower to the ground just at the eye level of children.
Tatiana, what are you seeing regarding their use among your friends?
Well, I haven't seen anything among like my friends, but I've seen pictures on social media of kids my age using them.
Mm-hmm. And then how easy are the Juul units or the pods to get? Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that they can be purchased online, and kids in high school can get them from their peers because you have to be 18 to purchase them. And so kids in high school, some of their peers are 18, so they can get them from their peers. And sometimes stores still sell them to minors, even though they're not supposed to.
Do you mind if I ask if you've tried it?
No, I have not.
Okay. And what do you think the allure is for Juuling?
What?
What do you think the allure is? Why kids your age might start using Juuls?
The ads can make them look very attractive, and you can customize them to make them more like personal to you. And the ads, they make them seem like, oh, you're so cool if you use them. And sometimes it can be something that if you're seen using one, that's really cool, but it's not. But yeah.
And they've got all sorts of great flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have many flavors, and that can a lot of people will start with the flavors because it's sort of like having candy, and then they'll get addicted to it. And
yep. Tatiana Bynum is a seventh grader at Edmonds Middle School in Burlington. I want to thank you so much for sharing what you know about e-cigarettes and Juuling. All right, take care. All right, so we're back to Chris Olex, the principal at Stowe High School, Diane Kirsten-Glittman, the school nurse at Essex-Westford School District. I want to ask you each, how does what the two of you are seeing in your schools compare to what we've heard from Tatiana? Chris, first of all, you?
Well, I think that Tatiana makes a great point about the marketing of these devices and the marketing surrounding the targeting to kids. The flavors that are cooked up for these things, watermelon and, cucumber and lime, they look like bubblegum flavors. The colors are really bright. Some of the flavors for some of these e-cigarette juices that you see are called unicorn or, cotton candy flavor. I mean, I don't eat a lot of cotton candy as an adult, but I know that kids do. And so I think that just the means in which they're advertising these products, she's definitely correct that, if a kid is seeing it and seeing it as that, we really do need to listen to the kids about it. I also think that the addictive properties of it, I was on a ferry the other day and there were a bunch of kids from Brown University there. They're 22-year-olds and they were all using a Juul pod device. And being a weirdo principal, I walked over there and was like, hey, are you guys Juuling? And they were like, yeah. And I said, can I talk to you guys about that? And I explained to them sort of what I do and what my concern was with it. And they were like, oh my God, we would love to. We are so addicted to this stuff. We can't even tell you. When we started, it was just a thing. And now we can't go without it. And they agreed to participate in a focus group for younger kids. So it was just a very interesting take on how quickly they had gotten hooked on it.
Diane, what have you been seeing?
Well, I had been so pleased because overall smoking cigarettes had declined. And my student population, if you even mentioned, smoking or asked them about smoking, it was like everyone's sort of ashamed of actually holding a cigarette. Cigarettes had become very uncool. They were seen as dirty. They were seen as polluters. And so it's a very small segment of our population that I've seen that is actually smoking real cigarettes. So in terms of seeing the vaping or Juuling, at first we thought it was all really related to another way to do cannabis or some other drugs. And then finding out that it was nicotine was quite a surprise, and we've all been sort of catching up to this. But the other day, before I even went to the Vermont Department of Health interview thing, I was leaving school and saw a student actually vaping in a car on the way out, and I was surprised. I think I had not really been as attuned to it. So I think we're still sort of catching up with how prevalent is this, how much are we going to need to do about this. But I'm just bothered by the fact that they made this sort of glamorous, and that really will bring that attraction back to using something that ends up being an addictive drug and sort of saddles you with, you know, the burdens of feeding that habit for possibly forever.
Well, one of the concerns is indeed the addiction to nicotine. Have you run across students who are addicted? And if you do, you know, what do you do?
So we do always have our, you know, student assistance program. We do have a lot of people who we can refer in terms of any kind of drug addiction, or if they even are requesting to come off of cigarettes. So we would do the same sort of process if there was someone who was addicted to juuling. And it's been very rare. I've only heard of one person so far mentioning to me that they've got a student that doesn't want to give it up, that plans to do it, that doesn't really think it's bad. And we're just going to need to really double down on our education.
Let's take a call now from Alex, who's calling from Richmond. Alex, thanks for joining the conversation today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I understand you're a vape shop owner. Is that correct?
Yep. I own the vape shop that's located in Essex.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very close to the kids that – not close to them personally, but I'm near them.
Okay. And what are you seeing in your store?
So there are – calling it juuling is – you know, I do want parents and I want teachers to be aware that there are 100 different products that do exactly what they do that aren't – like the typical vapes that I was used to selling, at least up until this year, where, you know, there were these big, clunky, sort of powerful, they made lots and lots of clouds, which was very appealing to a lot of people, but they didn't actually have that much nicotine. They were designed to get for nicotine, for a lack of nicotine dependency.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these Juul products, which are also fixed products, and what you need to know is that they're nicotine salt products, which are very, very high in nicotine. They're designed so that people can get that nicotine buzz. The thing that was sort of missing from the typical vapes, the ones that I sell, they're designed for the nicotine buzz. And I actually think that, you know, no one's talking about the feeling you get when you I don't want to say it's a high, but I'm sure there's many of your listeners and even yourselves who know what it's like to take in nicotine and feel that buzz. And that is a huge thing that these kids want. And they weren't getting it from the other products.
So, Alex, are you concerned?
Being sold in these tiny devices.
Are you concerned about Juuls?
I'm absolutely concerned.
Interesting.
I am. Yeah, I actually don't sell Juuls. I never. I do sell similar products, and I did plan on getting some in because they are popular among adults as well, because they're small, because they don't put off a lot of vapor, and so they're not a huge nuisance in the community, or, you know, when you're walking down the street or when you're outside of a bar, or, they don't put off this huge amount of vapor, and you don't have to vape it all day in order to get the nicotine that you want. But they don't help you in the way that vapes help people.
Okay. Alex, I appreciate your call. I want to take another one before we go back to our guests. First of all, let's talk to Jeremy, who's calling from Burlington. Jeremy, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us, what's your experience?
Well, so I'm a vapor. I was a smoker for about 10 or 12 years, and I switched to the vape to a recommendation of a friend of mine. And ever since I picked up the vape, not a tradition, you know, mine's more of a traditional vape. It's not the Juul. Mine's more like a stick, and I add my own juice to it, which I can control how much nicotine's in there, which really helps me quit smoking. I haven't picked up a cigarette in over a year and a half, and I've also gone down, you know, 12 milligrams in my nicotine intake due to vaping.
And do you hope you'll be off vaping, finished vaping anytime soon?
Correct. Yeah, that's my goal. I started out at a 24 milligram, and it goes down by fours. And I'm down to a 12, you know, and hopefully going down to a 8 my next time. And the goal is to not vape at all. So my comment would be that, you know, as an adult, you know, I'm 32 years old, vaping has really helped me to quit the combustible cigarette, which I feel is more healthy for me and healthy for the environment and people around me.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing that perspective. I want to ask a question of Chris Olex, the principal at Stowe High School. Have you had to institute specific school policies around e-cigarettes or Juuls?
A lot of what we had to do was to really front-load kids and parents educationally with what our current policies were and how they apply. So I think that a great deal, when we started seeing these devices, the very first thing that we needed to do was to educate our students and our teachers, because our teachers are really the front line for understanding who's got what. And once they saw it, they were like, oh my gosh, that's what that is. And instantaneously they were like, oh, here's this one, here's that one. The making sure that kids understand what they're actually using. So many students, I think, are not aware of not only the nicotine content in there, but the high level of it and what that drug can do to your body. And so heart rate effects, impacts on your skin. So we really tried to push out as much resources as we could regarding these things. The other point that Diane made earlier is that we don't know what's in these pods. We don't know what's in a vaping device. It's a unique challenge as a school administrator. If someone shows up with a sort of a device that has juice in it, how are we to know that it's nicotine-based? How do we know that it's not more serious drugs? If a kid takes one of these devices from somebody and takes a hit on it, they have no idea what's in it. So we've really tried to educate the whole student and the parents around that aspect of them.
We're discussing what's being seen in Vermont schools with Diane Kearson-Glittman, the school nurse at Essex-Westford School District, and Chris Olex, the principal at Stowe High School. And now we'll spend a few minutes with Vermont Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine. Dr. Levine, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Hi, Rick.
Hi there. So from a health standpoint, are e-cigarettes a good tool for getting someone off the smokes?
There's actually very mixed data with regard to that, but they have been effective for some individuals who do smoke cigarettes in terms of getting them off of them. Interestingly, there's also some evidence that people who have never smoked cigarettes and use vaping technology may eventually begin to use combustible cigarettes. The problem is, no matter which format you use from the start, you become addicted to nicotine. So even though we view the vaping mechanism as safer because you're not getting the cancer-causing part of combustible cigarettes, you may eventually get both the nicotine addiction and the cancer risk.
Well, in the e-cigarette, there's no tar, but there are other ingredients that people should be aware of, right?
There are, and unfortunately, most of us are not aware of the other ingredients. They're very poorly delineated, and we don't always know what's in them or what harmful actions they may produce.
So are you concerned about the use by middle and high school students?
Oh, terribly concerned, to the point where we did just have that panel at the end of last week with some of your guests today regarding this. We know that the marketing of flavored products really drives the use and can lead to smoking addiction. So fortunately, we come to this challenge as a state with a pretty strong and proactive prevention platform in place. We have some existing policy already that prevents the use of these kinds of devices in public places, including schools, of course, which is very similar to traditional cigarettes. We have a counterbalance initiative, which really tries to pull back the curtain on the marketing of flavored tobacco to young people, which has been very successful. We find that using this kind of initiative, the use and sales of flavored products go down. So obviously we're going to continue to use this, and we can and will apply the same infrastructure to Juul and other vaping products.
All right. Dr. Mark Levine is Vermont's health commissioner. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Let's take a call from Ted, who's calling from Hooksett, New York. Hi, Ted.
Hello. You know, it's interesting how you're talking about nicotine. The principal and the other woman, I'm sorry, skirted around the issue of other things that's going into those pens. Now that the legalization of marijuana in Vermont, That's what they're using them for. They're making, they're converting, getting liquid marijuana or all sorts of things and using in those pens. I think the small thing is nicotine is not the issue. It's the fact that what they're using them for, other than what people they're talking about here.
Gotcha, Ted.
You know, it's just going to be another gateway into something else. And it's, they'll make their own concoctions up. They don't have to buy them in the store. You should have heard some of the things like I've heard them people put in those pens.
So there have been reports of including THC in these vape pens and into the Juuls. Have you either of you seen any of that or know anything more about that usage?
I think as you keep up with the literature and you read the articles from around the country, you certainly hear that stuff. And I would echo the concern of the caller in that there's just no way to know what these things are. And that's a really scary thing given the current drug climate. You know, living in the opioid era right now, I'd be scared to death to do anything that that I had no idea what it was. And so I definitely think that as you look at more news coverage of this, you certainly hear more of it, and we'd be foolish to think that it wouldn't be the case.
Let's go to Essex, where Justin is calling. Justin, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. So just a couple of comments, and I was on the panel last week, so I do understand the issue with juuling. And it being very fad-like, giving youth access to high nicotine flavored products that easily gets them addicted. The perception of harm around juuling is extremely low for youth because they don't understand what they're doing. So the education, getting parents and teachers and schools on the same page and having more community conversations about it. The conversation you're having now and the panel are all great ways to progress in that nature. What the gentleman said about THC products, that's something we'll have to deal with before July 1st. But I think the nicotine Juul issue is pretty traumatic at this point. One of the things that I've seen is a disconnection between the FDA and Vermont being on a different page about advertising and youth risks, and really what is the FDA stance and how does Vermont adopt their stance before this gets any worse? And those are my comments.
All right. Do either of you have an opinion or a knowledge of what he's referring to?
Yeah,
the FDA stance?
The FDA put on hold and pushed back their deadline for the applications for regulation of these products, and they pushed it back to 2022, and it was going to be this fall. And that, you know, was a big blow. And actually, there's a lawsuit out from, like, American Academy of Pediatrics and a bunch of other groups saying that this is needlessly putting our youth at risk. Mm. And so that was a big disappointment in terms of what the FDA is doing. And I certainly think that, you know, we should join in with that.
We did get this email from Devin, who writes, "To be clear, the tobacco industry has entered the e-cigarette industry, of which Juuls are a part of, to make a profit and shore up the declining sales of cigarettes. The safety and efficacy of these products are smoking cessation aids is still uncertain. Kids use e-cigs and Juuls out of curiosity, peer pressure, and a little bit of defiance of their parents to assert their independence. My fear is that we are allowing another generation to be sucked into the vortex of nicotine addiction by the tobacco industry. This all is all the more reason to raise the age of tobacco and nicotine use to 21 in Vermont and nationally, as well as place significant taxes on all of these products." Chris, kids at this age are looking for something a little rebellious to do. Today, it's vaping or juuling. And compared to other risk behaviors, they could do much worse, right?
You can always do much worse. I mean, generally. There are so many things available and so many lousy choices that people can make. I think that what we really try to do as educators and as administrators and teachers is to help make sure that kids are actually aware of the choice that they're making when they're doing this. If they feel as though there's absolutely no harm to them, well, then of course they might engage in it. If they begin to understand more of the science of it, I mean, what we see with all sorts of educational and drug education things is once they understand the science, if they understand the brain science behind it, they'll be making a more educated choice and a wiser choice. It's really important to empower kids through this process and not to just speak down to them and say, no, this is bad for you. Kids don't respond to that, but they do really respond to, hey, these are the facts. They don't like to be manipulated. So if you can point out to them, hey, this is what's actually in this. This is how this company is going about it. When we heard from those two young ladies, the one who spoke on the show today, but on the panel the other day, they were really clear in stating, we can't stand that people are trying to control us and manipulate us.
Diane, if I'm 16 and I want to vape, and I know that, I would say, look, they're safer than cigarettes. So do you think students understand the difference between safe and safer?
No, not at all. And I don't think that that's something that really enters into their mind when they decide they want to do something that's faddish or cool. So we took a long time to bring the message of cigarettes as being unhealthy all the way through all of our grades. All kids can tell you all the dangers of it. It will take some time to get through this message as well. So, and I do support the idea that we too could become the sixth state to raise the age to purchase tobacco products to 21.
You know, there's one other thing too that's really important to understand is that science takes a long time. And to catch up with things, I mean, if we think about the way that cigarettes started in this country and how long it took people to understand the dangers of them, for good scientific studies to be done, it can take 10, 15, 20, 30 years until you get enough evidence to really say to people, hey, oh my gosh, we didn't understand how dangerous this was. We want to make sure that we're not having kids down the road by the time the science finally catches up to what these chemicals are doing to people's lungs in trouble.
Let's hear another perspective from Lou, who's calling from Athens. Lou, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Hi, thanks for putting me on. Just a comment, really. I work at a retail establishment that recently started selling the Juul pods. We've been selling other vapes for years, and I'm sad to report that the new clientele for them, a lot of the kids don't have ID and they don't get them. And the people that do are 18 and 19 years old. I haven't sold a single package of these products to anybody over 25.
Interesting. Well, I mean, cigarettes had the image of being cool, but this is different. And I think people should realize this. Juuling is kind of considered fun and quirky and amusing. So, Diane, are they taking it too lightly?
Yes, and like I said, we haven't gotten fully invested. We don't have all the science. We are still working on trying to educate. It's already in our health classes. They're already being taught a lot of this. But whether or not this sticks as a fad, we're not sure. The problem is the addiction to the nicotine and what that will do to the brain and to kids who are vulnerable to it. Certainly, it would be great if we could teach more of our kids, and we already do model this, to find other ways to get that high. And that's a lot of what our schools are doing with all of the opportunities for after-school activities, for athletic opportunities, for academic opportunities, and clubs. And it would be great if we just could get more kids into finding that personal high versus looking for nicotine for it.
Yeah. And so we're talking a lot about the kids, but you must be dealing with parents, Chris. What do they know about vaping and juuling, and are they concerned? I wouldn't be so much, I don't think, as a parent as I would about some of the other risk behaviors.
They know a lot more now than they did at the beginning of the year because of the efforts that we went through to make sure that they understood what these devices are. I think when you make clear to people the policy implications for school, how difficult it is for us to even understand what a kid has when they have something like this, and then how school districts need to respond to that, that can get parents thinking a lot about the dangers that it may pose, not just health-wise, but school records-wise to children. The level of understanding that they had for all adults, for myself included, I've worked in schools for 20 years. I didn't know what these were until I first saw one this fall. So it really did come on gangbusters, I think, for most schools around the country this year. You talk to other administrators, you read the coverage of it, you begin to see, hey, this was a very faddish thing. Social media, kids posting photos of each other, doing it in class or in a school. Smoking in the bathroom was a thing of the past, we thought, and now it just became this. So in many ways, it sort of is a regression to like the 1980s.
And I should mention that not only social media, but just the internet in general. And I don't want to paint social media and the internet as you know the devil in all this, but the ability to get these pods and you know get your Juul to begin with a little bit easier because of the internet.
Accessibility is so much more simple for children these days, I think. In terms of anything that they want to get online, access to a credit card, be it a parent's credit card or a friend or a gift card that you get online somewhere that you go to down to Shaw's and trade in cash for a Visa gift card. These companies need to do a much better job of age verification and making sure that they're not sending these chemicals out to young kids.
Diane, I want to start with you on this one. So what are the next steps in dealing with vaping and juuling amongst your students?
Well, I think we need a concerted effort. I think parents need to be aware and they need to start calling to the school and talking about it. And they need to start talking amongst themselves, forming groups. We need to talk to our legislators. We need to be talking to the Department of Health. A concerted effort all around will help us get a hold of this and have the conversations so that kids so that we can make the changes that we need to with the marketing, because we really should be making changes with the marketing, possibly with age, also with law enforcement, as we heard about in terms of cracking down on the internet accessibility.
And Chris, very quickly.
Education and helping kids tell their story. I think the more that we start to hear from students what their experiences are with this, and if they have negative experience, help them tell other kids that this is what happened to me and this is what we hope won't happen to you.
Chris Olex is the principal of Stowe High School, and Diane Kerrison-Glittman is the school nurse at Essex-Westford School District. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.